And this hour with Marianne Winkowski, we will take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Marianne, we still get a lot of pictures here of what appear to be orbs. Lots of them could be reflections and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what are they if they're real?
Orbs are pictures of people that are from the light.
And this hour with Marianne Winkowski, we will take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Marianne, we still get a lot of pictures here of what appear to be orbs. Lots of them could be reflections and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what are they if they're real?
Orbs are pictures of people that are from the light. So they can be angels, saints, guides. They can be Grandma Rose that comes to visit. They can be sparkly. They can be any color. The trick to it is this. If there's a design in the middle of the orb, for sure that's what it is. If it's blank, it's a dust particle.
Not bad.
Pretty simple.
Are they floating around for a purpose?
They come to visit all the time. They don't miss a new baby, an anniversary. That's why you get so many of them at family gatherings.
No, they're all over the place.
Exactly. Exactly. They don't miss anything. You know, everybody says, oh, I wish Dad could have seen me walk down the aisle. Believe me, he did. He was there. He didn't miss one little bit of it.
The belief system of ghosts,
mm-hmm.
Do you think it makes people feel better?
I do now.
What do you mean you do now?
Well, I think that people were so afraid of them because of not having enough knowledge. And now that people have more knowledge about a ghost and what it is and what it can't do, I think people are definitely they feel better about it. George, you cannot believe how many people call me and want to know if they have a ghost in their house, and I tell them no. They'll ask me if I can get them one.
They want them?
They want a ghost. It's like, I don't know how to call a ghost. I'm not getting you a ghost.
Are ghosts more prevalent in old houses than new houses?
Nope. That's, again, fiction.
Another fiction. Huh?
Another fiction, absolutely. I do so much work for builders of new houses, and it's not because it's built on an Indian burial ground either, because I've never run across that. But look at the stress. Look at how hard those guys are working, construction workers. Look at the energy they're putting out. Guess who needs energy? Earthbound spirits. They're going to be anywhere where there's a lot of high energy.
To the phones we go. Let's go to our Skype line to get things going. Liam's there in Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Liam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, I had a question. Earlier you said there were some things that we could do to get rid of some spirits in our house. And I've lived in this apartment, which is a three-level house, for about 10 years. And before, when I moved in here, I lived in the bottom level. And the top levels were vacant, you know. But I'd always hear footsteps, so much so that I would have to come up and check it out. And it wasn't just me. My dog heard it. She would perk up and hear it.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing ever here. Well, about 2 years ago, I moved upstairs, and because I had gotten used to all the noises downstairs, kind of tuned them out. And now that I'm upstairs, my dog has always slept with me in my bed since I had her as a puppy. The first week we slept here, I felt like someone was watching me from the doorway, and she would not sleep with me in the bed. She slept facing the doorway for the first week we lived here. And so I knew there was something weird, and I saw a big woman in like an old muumuu. And, staring at me, kind of angry. And another time, I was half awake, half asleep, and I saw this guy, this figure of a guy at the end of my bed, throw a box down on my legs, and he told me to get the H out, you know. And as soon as he did that, before I was even fully awake, my dog yelped and got out of bed and went to the living room. And she slept the rest of the morning in the living room, and she's never done that before. So I'm kind of wondering how to get rid of them.
Okay, everything that you just talked about can and actually does happen. So you're right on as far as that goes. The two things that I suggest to people, first being, is if you are in any kind of organized religion, you have a priest or minister come in and bless the house, just do not throw holy water around yourself, because that will make them very angry. It's one thing if an ordained priest or minister does it. It's quite another thing if a layperson does it. The other thing that you want to do is get a smudge stick, S-M-U-D-G-E, and that's made out of sage or sweetgrass, and that's actually what Native American Indians use. And they definitely, they do work, but you have to be very persistent. You have to smudge about every 2.5 to 3 weeks for it to work. What that does is make the earthbound spirits very lethargic, very laid back, and the house will feel better. Animals are really good sources. I mean, pay attention to your animals. If there's a room they won't go into or if they're growling, but here's a little trick. If your animals are looking eye level, they're looking at an earthbound spirit. If they're looking at the ceiling, they're looking at somebody that's coming to visit that's been from the light.
Good point.
So that's a nice little thing to know. But those are the two things that I suggest you try.
You know, this discussion of sage, by the way, sprinkled
mm-hmm.
around the house,
mm-hmm.
exactly what does it do?
It will make an earthbound spirit very, very lethargic, very laid back, and they will stop getting energy. They will be very quiet. You will definitely see a difference, but it only lasts for about 2.5 weeks. That's why you have to do it more often. That's why you have to do it at least that often. And the trick to that is you have to do every room and every closet, the attached garage, the one room you don't do, the one closet you don't do is where they're going to be.
Can you hang it from some kind of little bag?
No, you have to use the smoke. You work it like you do an incense stick.
Huh.
You light it. You blow it out, and you go around the perimeter of each room of the house. And I
like one of those things the priest has, and he shakes
yeah,
it? Yeah,
pretty much. Pretty much. And it is, I mean, you're going to have to make an effort to do it. Mark it on your calendar and do it. But, you know, if the kids are sick all the time, and you and your husband are fighting constantly, and you have headaches you can't explain, and you have a lot of electrical problems or plumbing problems, try smudging for a couple of times and try it. See if it doesn't work.
Next up, we go to Salt Lake City, Utah, west of the Rockies. It's Mary's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary.
Hello. How are you guys?
Oh, we're well, thanks.
Good. I'm doing some smudge right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I grow it. So, but my question is, Rosemary, my mother died about a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she is trying to contact me. My question is, when she tries to contact me, mm-hmm. it's right before I go to sleep. You know that land that you live in before you go mm-hmm. to sleep or before you're, you know, while you're still awake. And I hear her call my name. And I've tried to wake myself up and then I lose it or make myself go back to sleep and I lose it. I know she's trying to tell me something.
Okay, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, you said she only died a month and a half ago.
Right.
Okay. Once a spirit crosses over, the best way for them to communicate with you is in a dream.
Okay.
And it can take, in some instances, up to 3 years before a person can actually have a dream of somebody that's died. This is the good thing, though. Once you actually have a dream of them, you can have a conversation with her just like we're having right now. You are trying too hard. You need to just relax and let it go. You're very fortunate. If she's already trying to contact you this fast, that's great. Get an herb called mugwort, M-U-G-W-O-R-T. Make a little sachet out of it or put a couple tablespoons of it in a hanky and put it between your pillowcase and your pillow. And in about 3 weeks, you will start remembering your dreams and you will start talking to your mom pretty quick.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
How does that work?
I don't know what the property in that is that promotes dreams, it promotes sleeping. It really works well, though.
Well, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
You put it, like, inside the pillowcase, right?
Right. It, you know, some people, if they have pillow protectors, they could unzip them and put them in there. Sometimes people that have allergies, the odor or the fragrance of it is too much. It even works if you put it in a Ziploc bag. People have accidentally taken their pillowcase off and washed it in the washer and put it through the dryer. It still works.
Let's go to Point Arena, California on the wild card line. It's Nate's turn. Nate, you're on with Marianne Winkowski.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Hey,
hello,
Nate.
World.
Hello.
Hi.
Marianne, I think it's safe to say you're a living legend.
Thank you.
But anyway, it was a great segue from your last caller. I had a friend who passed away, and 2 years later, he appeared in a dream to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a moment of, like, where he came to me, and I said, hey, I hadn't seen you in a while. And then I had a realization. I said, hey, wait a minute, you're dead. And then at that point, he said, yeah.
Yep.
And then at that moment, a really bright light exploded in the sky. It knocked me down to the ground, and it seemed to suck him up and, like, stretched him up into the sky.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I was just curious, like, it just seemed peculiar.
Well, most people don't get to see that part of it, so you were really lucky as far as that goes. But, and I think after the initial, you know, shock, you did what almost everybody does when they finally have a dream of the person. They'll go, hey, you're dead. What are you doing in my dream? And that's a pretty common, you know, thing that people do. But once you get over that, you can talk to them. You can shake hands with them. He can give you a hug. Husbands, yeah. You know, wives have kissed each other. It's a pretty cool thing. And nobody's afraid of a dream, not when it's such a good dream, because they look healthy, they look good, they usually look younger than when they died, they're healthy looking. So dreams are good.
Yeah, I had a friend who came to me, committed suicide too, and I was able to give him a hug and tell him I loved him.
There you go. Yeah. It does work. Absolutely.
So thanks for your input.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you.
You also help a lot of people, Marianne. Did you know that?
Yes, you know, I've always just, it's my job, but you're right, I do, and I know that. And I'm tired at the end of the day, but it's a good tired.
I'm wondering if you would have made a great minister, a nun, or just a psychologist. I'm not sure.
Well, when I was in grade school, the nuns tried to get me to be a nun, but I liked boys too much.
That's right. You were out of control, weren't you? Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, your neck of the woods. Sandy, you're with us. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi, George. Hi there. Marianne, I'm wondering if you could give us some information about inherited oppressive entities. I've been told that I might have an issue with one of those, something my grandmother may have pulled through on a Ouija board when she was young. And I watched as she got older. She was very sick. Sickly. When she died, my mother started kind of staring into the ozone and losing her memory and acting weird and getting ill. And after about 15 years of that, she died about 3 years ago. And I noticed immediately I was getting similar symptoms, quote unquote symptoms, just freaky. And I'm familiar with smudging. I work in the psychic field myself. I'm good at spotting out earthbound spirits. But this is something that's really insidious, that kind of is like a chameleon.
I don't think it's an earthbound problem that you have. I think what you have is a generational curse on the family.
Really?
Yeah. And the three things that are cursed effects, and it can be one, two, or all three of these things, and in no particular order, but it's usually health, money, or relationships.
It's money and health.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what to do for it.
But it sounds to me like you definitely have, yes, you definitely have negative energy on you, so I'm coming right out and telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
If you get, when ghosts speak, the whole last chapter of that book is how to remove negative energy. Go to the library. Get the book from the library. Look at the last chapter, which happens to be chapter 13. And you can do it, and you can take this negative energy off and just end this already.
Curses.
Yes.
Do people know they've been cursed?
Sometimes they do.
If the cursor says, I just put a hex on you.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know? How do you know you've been cursed? How do you know, Marianne, that
How do I know if you have a curse on you?
Yeah, that somebody has cursed you or your family. How do you know if and all these horrendous things are happening? How do you know?
Well, how many times have you heard people say, oh, woe is me. If I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck.
I know some people who say that all the time.
Okay. Or, you know, I was born under an unlucky star, or this is my fate in life.
I have a black cloud over my head.
You got it. I'm the born loser.
It rains.
You know what?
It doesn't rain on anybody except me.
There you go. Went to school both ways, uphill both ways, back and forth.
All right.
Exactly. But there is some truth to that. Plus, this is the thing. If you have negative energy on you, negative energy attracts negative energy, which means that what could have started out as a little, just little nonsense negative energy that somebody put on you when you were 17 or 18 years old. That's not true because it can't stick on you till after you're 18. So when you're 18 or 19 years old, by the time you're 40, this is pretty bad. There was a man that left his wife. He was getting married. He was 20 years old. It was in New York City. They were in the big cathedral in New York, big, huge Italian wedding. He never showed up. He left his bride standing at the altar.
Oh, how horrible.
Do you know how bad that man was cursed?
Do you blame them?
Do you know?
If I was that girl's dad.
Yes, exactly. Now, I finally run across this man. He's 52 years old, or he finds me, let's put it that way. He has been married. This is his third wife and his third set of kids.
The curse continues.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Not very good.
That's how it affects him. Then there's generational curses. Hey, tell me the Kennedys aren't cursed.
Well, they were cursed.
And I think it was before Joe Kennedy. I think it was one before.
They were cursed, and the Red Sox were cursed for a long time.
Yeah, not anymore.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
We had you on to talk about the curse of the Bambino.
Yes, yes, yes. And I've been called to more than one ball club.
How do you remove a curse?
It's truly, it can be done in under a minute, believe it or not.
The person can do it for themselves?
You
or do they need a curse remover person?
You need a friend. You can't take your own curse off. You can take it off your property yourself if it's on your property or your house, but you can't take it off yourself. So you got to get your buddy and do it to them, because if you don't have a curse on you and you do this little ceremony, you're not going to get one. If you've got a curse on you and you do this little ceremony, you're going to take the curse off. And if you did something wrong, you're not making it worse. It's a win-win situation.
And if someone curses you, do they need a lock of your hair or anything like that?
No, they do not.
Or a picture?
A picture will help somebody if they don't know you. Like if you...
Not that I'm trying to teach people how to put curses.
Right,
on.
But if you went to a certain type of a person that had a little sign out in the front and said that they could, you know...
We'll do curses.
Right. For as cheap as $5, you can go in there and they will put a curse on whoever you want, and it will work. But you've got to remember something. What goes around comes around.
How come the person who gives the curse doesn't come back and get slapped? Not the person who orders it, but the individual. Let's talk about that when we come back, and we'll take final phone calls with Marianne Winkowski before we move ahead with Full Moon Friday Open Lines. Well, as I've been mentioning, next hour we'll have Full Moon Friday open lines for you. We'll also have more phone calls with Marianne Winkowski when we come back. Hey, I want you to hear something. Listen to this. That's a quarter. And for that every day, you can become a Coast Insider, a StreamLink member. That's it. And find out all these incredible things you can do. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com and you can sign up to become a Coast Insider. And we do a monthly video chat when I'm in Los Angeles as well. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So, Marianne, the person who puts on the curse, somebody goes to them and they are a professional curser. Mm-hmm. What happens to them? Do they get that ripple effect, or have they somehow learned how to insulate themselves?
Well, I think a lot of them have some idea of how to do some protection for themselves. but I think they still get some of the fallout. And but you are the person that went there and paid the money to have it done, so ultimately it's going to come back on you also.
That's true.
It's like when somebody's when I take a curse off of somebody, so I will they will say, fine, take it off, but send it back, increase it tenfold. And I will not do that. I'm not ruining my karma for somebody else. I send it out to the universe and let universal law take care of it. I've had people get up, George, and leave because I wouldn't do it their way.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to John in Tulsa, Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Hey, John, go ahead.
Both of you.
Hey.
Marianne, you're hard to get a hold of.
I know it. I'm sorry.
Well, we've been trying for quite a while, and I tried the last time you were on coast and didn't get through, and this time I'm through.
There you go.
Good.
A lot of the family is sensitive to where they hear, see, feel things around the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sensitive to it. The only thing I've had happen is when I was asleep one day, something bumped the bed hard enough to wake me up, which I work nights and sleep days, and I got up and there was nobody home.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to tell me if there is something here and whether or not it's resident here or just we have things pass through?
I think that you have one that's there all the time, a man, and there is definitely some residue from a woman that tells me that she is in and out. Today is a full moon, and she is not there right this minute, but she was there. Today's Friday. She was there. She left on Wednesday, so she was there 2 days ago. The man is definitely there. He's standing in the eating area of the kitchen. And he's a tall, skinny guy. Can't talk to him over the phone, but you have some, there's like paperwork on the counter and on the table there.
Yes.
That's where he's standing. And he looks like he would be a local as far as dress, jeans, T-shirt. Can't see his feet, so I don't know if he's got cowboy boots on or not. tennis shoes. Nope, no cowboy boots. But he's very tan. He's very weathered looking. And unfortunately, that doesn't tell me a year because he could have dressed like that in the 70s or yesterday. But he's definitely somebody that's been in the house. I feel that he's been there probably for at least 3 or 4 years.
How about a little girl?
No, I'm not picking up on any child at all. Now, how long ago did somebody see a little girl in the house?
It's probably been a little over a week.
Oh, really? Well, then there wouldn't be any residue there. Do you have a child in the house?
Yes.
Okay. Then you probably do. Kid ghosts like kids. Would she be about the same age as your child?
I believe younger.
Okay. Kid ghosts will usually hang out with kids about the same age. Now, it's weird because our kids today are so smart that a lot of times, a 4 or a 5-year-old today, one of our children, would have a ghost kid attached that maybe would be 7 or 8 because mentally they would be about the same age. So it's usually a ghost kid a little bit older than the actual live child. But that doesn't mean that she isn't a neighborhood kid ghost that's coming in and out of different houses that have children.
Okay. But smudging should help with...
As long as you do it on a regular basis, yes. And you just described something that a ghost actually does normally to children. You know how your kids get up every night at 2 o'clock in the morning and come in bed with you?
Right.
That's because a ghost will walk over to the bed and literally kick the bed, like what happened to you, to scare the kid, jar them awake in the middle of the night where they're afraid, and they come in bed with you. But that's exactly how a kid feels like you felt when you had that bed jarred on you today or yesterday.
Very good. Thank you, John. And generally, when you go through houses,
yes,
you're looking for the same things that you just discussed, right?
Yes. And it's gotten to a point, and there's some good things with age. I go into a house now, and I will sit down with the owners at their dining room table or their kitchen table, and it's almost like ollie, ollie in free, all of you in the house, get in here. I don't go through attics and basements anymore. I decided I don't need to do that. They will come to me, which normally, if you've got more than one ghost in the house, they do not sit around at night and play pinochle. They don't even stay in the same room with one another. They're aware of one another, but they will stay in different sections or different floors of a house. And I think it has something to do with the energy of being in the room together, that it affects their energy. But when I go, I just make them all come around.
Let's go to Sherman, Texas. Will Stern on the wild card line. Hi, Will. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Marianne.
Good to have you.
Good to speak with you, Will.
You too.
Hi.
Marianne, my question for you is, I've been an emergency department nurse for about the past 9 years. I've seen a lot of bad things and a lot of people pass. I've also been doing some spirit investigating for the past probably 3 years. The thing that I've noticed is I've had a lot of electronics, a lot of mechanical malfunctions around my house, around me. I've also had some pet disappearances. Do you see anything around me that could be attached or that could be causing some of these problems?
You've got a couple things going on here. First of all, your line of work. You are definitely in a line of work that has a tendency to have spirits follow you home, especially if the hospital that you work at is a city hospital. If it's a private hospital, not so much. But if it's a city hospital, you know your emergency room has to take everything that's brought in. So a lot of times, people that die in emergency room scenarios, if it was murder, something violent, these people that die really feel that nobody tried hard enough because they weren't the right color, the right person, whatever. And sometimes they will definitely go home with the nurses, the doctors, the people that work there. Absolutely. If you're doing investigative work, a lot of times, if you've got somebody in your group that you go do your investigating with that can see and talk to them, create the white light and release them, there's not going to be a problem. But if you end up in somebody's house that actually has a ghost or two, and all you're doing is doing your electronic surveillance and doing that kind of stuff, and you leave the ghost there, sometimes they can get a little ticked off about that and follow you home because they thought you were going to let them go.
And you don't want an upset ghost on your hands, do you?
No, because they can make your life pretty miserable. Now, I'll tell you, you do have somebody in your house. You've got an older man in the house, and I mean he is pretty aged. I would say he's probably 85 to 90 years old. He is still, which he wouldn't have to, but you do what you do because it's just, it's habit. He is sort of bent over. He is bald on the top. He does have fringe around the outside. He has maroon bedroom slippers on, and he has, he's got pants on, like slacks on, but he's got a bathrobe on over it. So this may be somebody that, do you have anything to do with nursing homes?
At one time I did work home hospice for about a year, and I had several elderly patients.
Well, that would be unusual, because usually hospice patients cross over. They know they're dying, everybody around them knows they're dying, and they're tired and they want to go. But this could be somebody from that. It almost looks like that could be a situation. Try smudging and be very, try to smudge your house really, really good after you go on one of your investigations, just in case something followed you home, it doesn't decide to stay with you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, Will. Good luck indeed. Next up, let's go to Rebecca in Mesa, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hi, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question. My younger brother passed April 21st of last year. He had suffered severe headaches for 2.5 years. They never could find a cause. And he went to sleep one night and just didn't wake up. And when the autopsy report came back, they said that all the pain medication he was taking, that it probably just finally caught up and shut his respiratory system down. Well, since he's passed, I've had things going on in my house. I have one blind in the living room that will sway back and forth with no wind blowing or anything. My television shuts itself off and turns itself back on. I hear noises, things will fall, and my husband and I just look at each other and it's like, well, we didn't do that. I'm just wondering if he could be earthbound and he's here trying to tell me something, or like maybe wants me to find out why the doctors didn't help him. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, have you had a dream of him yet?
I had a really weird dream last night I didn't even tell anybody about.
Okay. Did he look healthy? Did he look okay in the dream?
He looked kind of okay, but I'll tell you what happened. He was sitting, and he wanted me to rub his back. He said his back hurt, and I lifted up his shirt, and his
He wasn't
yeah.
in your dream. You had a dream about him. There's a difference.
Okay.
No, he wasn't in your dream.
Okay.
So that tells me there is a possibility that he is earthbound. Check with friends and relatives. As long as somebody has had a dream of him, he has crossed over. There is not a man in your house. You have a woman in your house.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And is your garage attached?
We live in an apartment, actually.
Where are those tubs at that you have storage in?
My closet.
Oh, okay. Well, then she's in there because I can see those tubs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Why is she in there?
Well, that's where she is.
They like closets for some reason.
You know, that just happens to be where she's standing in right in that area. And I don't know what type of work you do. Maybe she followed you home. I don't know if you're an antique collector, if you go to garage sales or tag sales. She could have came home with you like that.
No, but, I'm a CNA. I work in a children's hospital.
No, it's not a child. But you've got something else going on here. You live in an apartment. An apartment
yes.
is like a smorgasbord for a ghost.
I know.
I mean, if they're not in your apartment today, they can be in somebody's tomorrow. They love apartments because they can go in and out of anybody's place. Smudge.
Okay.
And see if that doesn't help. But definitely check with all your friends and everything to see if somebody's dreamt of your brother before you think he hasn't crossed over.
Okay, and you don't think there's like a message that he's trying to get to me or...
The best way for him to get a message to you would be in a dream. Now, if he hasn't crossed over, how you described him, what the autopsy said, just from experience from other people going through this, I think you would have a really hard time showing that there was somebody was the cause of this.
Sure. Once they go, they go.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if we can get one or two more in. Jean in Washington, D.C., first-time caller. Go ahead, Jean.
Yes, ma'am. I think I'm your third nurse to call tonight. You have a CNA,
the
other nurse, and I'm an ER one. A couple questions, if I may. Mm-hmm. My grandmother passed in October, and before my grandma passed, she and I were able to communicate, you know, without speaking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to do that with a couple of – it runs in my family, to put politely.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after she passed, I had a dream of her.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to speak to her one-on-one, and
right.
I haven't since. Do you think she's gone, and that's why I'm not able to speak to her? And what is in my house right now?
Okay, let's go to your grandmother first.
There's a lot in here.
Okay, let's go to your grandmother first. I think that she came to you pretty quick after she died, and if it was definitely a dream and you talked to her, then she has crossed over. You know, everybody wants somebody that died and to come in a dream. Once they come once, they want them to come every night. You can't do that. They have things they have to do. They have to and I don't know what because I can't see in there, but according to James Von Prague, they're busy. They have places they have to go. They have to teach. They have to do this. She'll come to you when she needs to come. Look for her on your birthday, on the anniversary of her death, on her birthday. She will show up when you least expect it. Okay. Now, you have a teenager spirit in your house.
I know.
He is, he's got a little bit of an attitude. He likes to break things.
Why is he here? I mean, that's what I'd like to know. Why does he like
us? Well, he probably followed you home from work.
And sometimes he, I hate to say this, sometimes he likes to come into me. And I've set up ground rules where I don't allow that anymore.
Okay.
About a minute to go over.
I think that he can really get in your space, and that's where you feel him the most. And that's what you have to do. Start putting some sea salt in a misting bottle and spraying yourself with, like, spray the air and walk through it so that you have a little mist of sea salt around you, and that'll keep any earthbound spirit out of your face.
What percent? Is there a percent of ghosts that are still hanging around? I mean, that's a difficult number. But is it high, low?
I think it's high. And I think there are certain areas of, and of course, I'm familiar with the Cleveland area because this is where I live.
Right.
I mean, if I get a call
right now.
Yeah. But across the country, yes. I think there, I will bet you that at least 80% of the houses in the United States probably have something in their house.
Because they follow the person or because they're already there?
Either or.
Hmm.
Either or.
So you can pick these things up almost anywhere, right?
Yep, I sure can.
Are cemeteries full of these spirits?
Never seen an earthbound spirit in a cemetery in my life.
Really?
Everybody there's dead. Who are they going to get energy from?
They're gone, huh?
That's right.
Off and away. Marianne, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
Good luck. Let us know when the new book's out, okay?
I will.
All right. That is Marianne Winkowski, her website, Marianne, without the E, MarianneGhostbuster.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to take more open line calls now when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Full Moon Friday, open lines. So get ready for that. Don't forget, Skype line is open. That's George 97313. George 97313. If you need to email me, that's George at coasttocoastam.com. And also don't forget, sign up for our Facebook page and also participate in our Twitter page as well, which you can get by simply going to coasttocoastam.com. Couple hours to go now, a Full Moon Friday open lines. Anything will happen. I'll be right back.